In Latin countries, they call it Holy Friday. In Germany, they call it Mourning Friday. They mourn the loss of Christ and grief. In the Orthodox churches, they call it Holy or Great Friday. Its origins as a special holy day go back to the development of Holy Week in Jerusalem in the 4th century. Worshippers were called to walk as, in a sense, a procession of penitence on the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem. And from that have developed what has been called the 14 stations of the cross. If you had a Catholic background, you probably understand what those 14 stations of the cross are all about and have experienced them in certain churches. Many Protestant denominations celebrate the Lord's Supper, and that's what we practice on Good Friday. We focus in on what Christ has done for us at Good Friday. Do you remember the words of the angel to Joseph in a dream? He said these words, "Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." In the Gospel of Luke, Good Friday was a good day for at least two people who were part of the crucifixion scene. The first was the penitent thief. Because Jesus said to him that day, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So, although he was crucified and had his legs broken, that thief, he had something to look forward to with great hope and anticipation, because he had understood who the person in the center cross was and had responded to him. The second person who had been there on Good Friday and in a sense would say it was a Good Friday was the centurion. He probably had responsibility for the crucifixion. But he had experienced a lot of things that day. He experienced all the jeering and all the scorn and all the scoffing and all the rude words said by the chief priests and the teachers of the law and other people. He also was able to observe Jesus dying on the cross and knew that this man was different. But then he experienced 3 hours of darkness from noon till three. He experienced an earthquake. Now, the next part I'm not totally sure he maybe experienced before Jesus died. But when that earthquake took place, the tombs of many were open and people were raised from the dead and came into Jerusalem. Now, whether he saw that before Jesus died or not, I don't know. We also hear that the curtain in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. There were a lot of miraculous things that took place in those 6 hours when Jesus died on the cross. How do you handle Good Friday? Are you a little bit like the Germans? You focus on the pain and the suffering and the agony. You don't know exactly how you're supposed to feel. You know it's Good Friday, and yet you feel kind of down and blue and sorrowful and full of grief and sad because of what happened to Jesus. The Christian life is certainly partly about sharing in the sufferings of Jesus. Paul talked about that. Maybe you're like the English countries. Good Friday. We're confessing the Christian hope that no tragedy, not even death, can overwhelm God's providence and his love and his grace for us. Satan's greatest victory became his greatest defeat. And what the leaders of the Jewish nation saw as their greatest victory became their greatest defeat. Some traditions today will focus primarily on the pain and the physical suffering of Jesus. Some traditions will have Jesus on the cross. Other traditions, Protestant traditions, focus more on the meaning and purpose of the death of Christ. Some of you a couple of years ago saw that film, The Passion of the Christ. As Protestants, we're not used to seeing such a visual presentation of the death of Jesus. Yes, we know that it was horrible and awful and painful, but so often we focus in on what his death means to us and to the world. I want to share with you just three significant aspects of the death of Christ, two of which are words or statements that Jesus himself expressed from the cross. The first one was read in our scripture reading today. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Have you ever felt lost or abandoned or forsaken? Jesus, who experienced perfect, intimate fellowship within the Trinity from all eternity past, was now experiencing for the first time in his life what it meant to be abandoned by his Father. Certainly a major component of hell is the absence of God's presence, God's works, his love, his mercy, and his help. This was the source of that agonizing prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he was saying to his Father, Father, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, is there any way that we can purchase salvation without my dying on the cross and receiving all of the sins of the world heaped on my body? Is there any other way? His Father said, no, there is no other way. This is the only way. This is the perfect way. This is the way we have planned it and knew about since the beginning of time, since before humans were created. The prophet Isaiah captures it this way. The Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The apostle Paul put it this way. God made Jesus, who knew no sin. So Paul is saying that Jesus was the sinless Savior. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So God sends his Son. He heaps on his Son the sins of the world, and we end up being clothed in the righteousness and the garments of Jesus Christ. The depths of the anguish of the cry from the cross is unfathomable for us. Robert Murray McShane made this statement about it. He said, who is able to look in the awful ocean through which the Lord Jesus in his sufferings waded? We cannot fully understand. Our second focus is on another word from the cross. In English, it's three words. It is finished. In Greek or Aramaic, it's one word, tetelestai. The shout of triumph. It is finished. And the songs that the chorale sang and the songs that you sang so clearly were saying what this is all about. We have these words recorded in John chapter 19, verse 30. Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Can you hear the triumphant sound? Tetelestai being shouted from the cross. First of all, the Savior's sufferings were ended. You know, Jesus' life was a life of suffering. He was born in a stable. He was hunted by Herod. His family thought he was mad. His neighbors, when he preached in the local synagogue, after the service, wanted to throw him off the cliff. He was betrayed by a disciple. He was denied by Peter. He was forsaken by all of his disciples except for John at the cross. He had an illegal trial. Convicted for on the count of blasphemy for telling the truth. And lastly, and even most significantly, he was forsaken by God when the sins of mankind were placed on his Son. But I want to emphasize to you that the sufferings of Christ were voluntary. He willingly came to earth. He willingly accepted all of the limitations of humanity being born into a world. He understood hunger and pain and thirst. And yet he was still God at the same time. Why did he come? Why did he suffer so much? He came for you and for me. In Isaiah 53, we have these words. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. That triumphant sound also meant that Satan's power was broken. We have that shared with us a bit in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. And then in that great passage in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, where even the power of death holds no power over Jesus. And will hold no power over us either. And then the world's redemption was completed. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and following, we have these words. You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish or spot. The third focus I want us to have is this. Christ is our Passover. I heard this morning somebody say that they're in the middle of Passover. Passover is really one day, but the feast is 7 or 8 days. And the Passover and Easter are very close together this year. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Paul says these words, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." The blood of Christ purchases our pardon. Like the blood of the Passover lamb that was put on the doorposts and over the top of the doorpost on the lintel, so the judgment of God on my sin is averted by the blood of Christ and his death for me. Jesus transitions in the upper room the Passover meal into the ordinance of the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper. Jesus has become God's provision for us, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remember the second verse of the song you sang this morning, In Christ Alone? It says this. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I live. Here in the death of Christ, I live. Without the death of Christ, we would still be under the sentence of death. But God, in his graciousness, has this perfect plan of redemption, which was executed perfectly on Good Friday at the cross, at much cost to God himself. But he knew that only a sinless person could pay the penalty and be a substitute for others. And so Jesus became the substitute for all those who repent of their sin and receive his gift of eternal life and salvation. What a wonderful Savior we have. Let us pray. Father, we cannot fully enter into the agony and the suffering of our Savior Jesus and what it must have meant to him when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We cannot fully understand the triumph and the excitement when he said, tetelestai, it is finished. And all of that suffering that he went through and rejection and scorn and pain was over. We thank you that you provided Jesus as that Passover lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, so that we can have sins forgiven, so that we can have purpose in life, so that we can have the hope and the future of eternity in the presence of God. We give you thanks today in the matchless name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.